As I mentioned a moment ago, I'm going to preach a two-part message. This morning, as you noticed in the bulletin, as I said a moment ago, what forgiveness does, and then tonight, what forgiveness does not do. And there's wonderful truths in both, so I hope you'll listen this morning and revel in that truth with me. Just, you know, sometimes we just got to get in the Word of God and just I don't know how to say it, bathe in it. We just got to let it flow over every part of our being. Let it just soak down to the deepest part and just sort of feel it. Just to know and understand a little bit more what God did for us. And then there's truth in the message tonight. So again, I hope you'll come back tonight and get that truth. Adam read from Psalm 51 a moment ago, a psalm written by David. And if you were here when we were studying the Psalms a few years ago and have a good memory, you remember that Psalm 51 was written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. He was at a place that he shouldn't have been, at a time when he shouldn't have been. The Bible says it was a time that kings go forth to war. And he sent Joab, his general, with the army out, and he stayed home. So he shouldn't have been there. He should have been out with the army. And he looked at something that he shouldn't have looked at. And as a result of being at a place, at a time that he shouldn't have been and looking at something he shouldn't have looked at, he ended up committing adultery. And this psalm, Psalm 51, was written after he tried to cover it up. He invited the lady's husband home, and Uriah was a good man, a faithful man to God and a faithful man to David. David didn't accomplish his purpose when he brought Uriah home from the battle, and so he sent him back with a letter to Joab to put him in the front of the battle and basically let him be killed. And so his plan to cover up his sin was foiled, and God sent a prophet, told David a little story. He said, David, there were two men in the city, and one of them had just one little lamb. Turn me down just a little bit, Adam. One of them had a little lamb that he'd raised as a child, and he treated it as a child. The other one was a rich man and had lots of lambs, and the rich man had a visitor come and visit him, and instead of taking one of his many, many lambs to kill and feed the visitor, he went and stole the lamb from this man that only had the one. And he killed that lamb and served it up for dinner to his guest. And David, of course, got angry, and he said, that man that did that will pay. He will pay the price for committing that sin. And God's prophet, pointed his finger in David's face and said, David, you're the man. You're the one that committed that sin when you took another man's wife, when you had him killed to try to cover up your sins. And we may try to cover up our sins, and we may be successful in covering them up from each other, but we can never cover our sins from God. He knows, he sees, and he knows our thoughts, he knows what we say, he knows what we do. And you might as well just go ahead, if you're a Christian, and confess your sins to God, because don't think for a moment that you can hide them. So David had committed this sin. He'd been confronted by God's messenger, and in response to that, he writes what we wrote in Psalm 51 a moment ago, and begging God for forgiveness, begging God to cleanse him from that sin, begging God to restore to him the joy of his salvation. Again, those first three verses, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And you go down and you read the rest of that psalm, and David is asking God to clean me up and just to take away my sin and let me get back to that relationship that I had with you before I committed this sin. And you go and you read the Psalms after 51, the Psalms after God had worked in David's life, and you'll find that God did forgive him. You'll find that God did restore to him the joy of his salvation. You'll find that God did give David not only what he asked for, but more than and he asked for. And I'm glad we got a God that always gives us more than we ask for. I'm glad he never stops at the limits that we draw on him. But he says, hey, I have things that you know nothing about that I want to give you. If you'll ask me, I'll not only give you what you ask for, I'll give you some extra blessings. And I'm glad we got a God like that. This morning, I want to concentrate and talk about the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing. And the forgiveness of God does some wonderful things in our life. And this morning, I won't take any more time than I usually do, but I want to mention seven things that the forgiveness of God does in our life. Number one, the forgiveness of God takes care of my eternal punishment. God's forgiveness takes care of my eternal punishment. In John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life." You see, I'm a sinner, as we all are. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of that sin is death. Not just, as we've talked about many, many times, not just physical death. I mean, physical death will come to us all. It's appointed unto man once to die. But the death that God is talking about, that's judgment for our sin, is separation from him. That's spiritual death. We were made to fellowship with God. We were made to be with God. But that sin drives us apart. That sin separates us. And that sin is what the Bible talks about as spiritual death. And it says the wages of sin is death. That's what I've deserved. That's what I've earned. And every sinner, who has not received forgiveness for their sin, one day will stand before God and be judged for that sin. In Revelation chapter 20, you don't need to turn to it. Let me just read a few verses. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You don't get your name written in the book of life until you get the forgiveness of God for your sins. That's how you get your name in the book of life. You come and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You accept the penalty that He paid for your sins on Calvary. You ask Him to be yours. He receives you. He makes you part of the family of God. And you are forgiven for your sins. And that forgiveness takes care of your eternal judgment. You can't get there any other way. You can't get your sins forgiven any other way. You can't work enough to make up for them. You can't pay enough to cover them up. David tried all he knew to cover up his sin. And God came to David after all his efforts and he says, "It will not work." You can commit murder, you can lie, and you can think that I'm going to overlook that sin. But God says to every single one of us, He says the same thing. You can do good works, you can join a church, you can get baptized, you can take communion, you can live a good life, you can be clean and moral and pure, and all those are good things, but they're not enough to take care of the sin in our life. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And the forgiveness that God gives us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior takes care of our eternal judgment. Number two, the forgiveness of God blots out or removes every sin that I've committed off of God's record. I brought a little thing to help me illustrate this morning. We're going to let this be God's record. I was trying to set it over here so everybody can see it. I'll just put my record up. Not all of it. We don't have time for that, but okay. See, before I got saved, there was a book in heaven that God recorded every one of my sins. When I committed my first sin, when I knew what I was doing and I chose to do wrong, God started to keep a record in heaven. When I told my first, of course, I wasn't a preacher then, so I just better put Daryl. All right. When I told my first lie, he wrote a lie on my record. When I had my first fight with my brother, he wrote that on my record. When I disobeyed my mom or my dad for the first time, he wrote that on my record. And I'll just put dot, 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 because again, there's too many of them to talk about. And so I had a record in heaven. I was a sinner. And I'll tell you what, one of those sins, I mean, if there was just one, that sin would take me to hell. Take me to hell. But when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I knelt down beside that red vinyl couch in my pastor's office and I admitted to God that I was a sinner and I wanted Jesus to save me, God forgave me of my sin, and he did something else. He says, I'm going to go into the books in heaven, and I am going to blot out every sin off of your record. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 3:19. He said this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And here's what God did. He took the blood of Jesus Christ, he sprayed it on my record, and he blotted out every sin that I had on my record. And if you look at this record in heaven this morning, just like you look at this board, you can find no record, no mark. I mean, there's not even an indentation on the page. When God blots your sin off of his record in heaven, you look at that page and you can't tell there was anything ever written there at all. Nothing. I mean, I could write on here and I could take this eraser and you can see some smudges. You can see the leftovers of that sin. If we were going to do it, this is what we'd use. But I'm glad God uses the blood of Jesus Christ to wipe away every one of my sins. And when you look at my record in heaven this morning, you don't even find a smudge. You can find no record of my sin. Not only that, God does something else. When he gives me his forgiveness, he makes it impossible for him or anybody else to write anything else on my record in heaven as far as the sin goes. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 2, the Bible says this, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." What that verse says is, you say, "Preacher, you mean when you got saved, you quit sinning?" I wish that were the case. But that's not how it works. You see, I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner forgiven by God. But I'm still a sinner. I still speed. I was glad to hear Martha was telling me about her trip home. And she says, I was driving about 58 or 59 miles an hour. And she was telling me about somebody following her. I said, Martha, I didn't say it to her, but I thought in my mind, speed limit's only 55. Nice lady like Martha speeds. But I speed. I go a lot faster than 58 or 59 sometimes when I'm in a hurry. But here's what happens. If God wanted to, he doesn't want to, but if he wanted to, and he took out his pen in heaven, and he tried to write on my record, speeding, it doesn't show up. Because the forgiveness of God makes it impossible for him to record another sin on my record. That's why the Bible says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." You know whose record he puts it on? He puts it on Jesus. Because you see, when Jesus went to the cross, he not only paid for every sin I'd ever committed, he paid for every sin I'll ever commit. In fact, when he died on the cross, I was in the future. And he paid for every sin that I was going to commit in the future. The forgiveness of God. It takes care of my eternal punishment. It removes every sin from my record. It keeps God from writing anything else on my record. And here's something else. Hey, Jeff, you're close. Come up here and help me for a second, would you? Here's something else that God does. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. All right? Jeff, did you ever tell a lie? Huh? No, yeah, yeah. All right. Liar. Did you ever say something that you wish you hadn't said? Maybe swore just a little bit. Blasphemer. Did you ever take anything that didn't belong to you? No? Not that you know of. Okay. That was the other son you were talking about last week at McDonald's, right? Did you ever dislike somebody so much? I mean, that you hated them?
Yeah.
Murderer. I'm just going by that. This is what the Bible says, not me. It says if we hate somebody, it's just like being a murderer. Okay, well, that's enough. I mean, we'll just put dot, 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 dot. Now, let me abbreviate those right here for a minute. Now you help me. If we looked at Jesus' record in heaven, what would we see? Huh? Kindness. He is kind. What else? Forgiving. He is forgiving. What else? Loving. Sinless. Huh? I'm sorry? Steadfast. All right, that's enough. I mean, I'll just put dot, 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 dot. Now, here's what the forgiveness of God does. He takes Jeff's name off of here and wipes out all of these sins like we talked about a moment ago. Not a smudge or anything on our record. But then he goes beyond that. He comes over here and takes off Jesus' name. And he writes, Jeff. You see, when he forgives me of my sin, the Bible says that I am dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And so when God looks at Jeff, he doesn't see all these things that we erased over here. What he sees is the righteousness of his son who Jeff is dressed in. The righteousness of God, which includes kindness and forgiveness and loving, sinless, steadfast, on and on and on and on. Okay, thank you, sir. That's why the Bible says, and this is point number 5, when we get the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, we're justified. We're made just as if we've never sinned. We're made just like Jesus. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see the sin that has happened in our life. He doesn't see the sin that occurred in our life. He doesn't see the sins that we've committed. He sees the perfection of Jesus Christ. And we stand before him justified. Number 6, forgiveness does something else. It separates me and you from our sin. In Psalm 103, verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hey, Jeff, would you stand up? And Harry, would you stand up? Okay? Just come out into the aisle, if you would. Just right where you are. Just stay right there, but get behind one another in a straight line. Okay? Now, Jeff, turn around and face him. Okay? Jeff is a sinner. Harry represents his sin. You got him enslaved, Harry. That's what's... Wrap your arms around him. That's what sin... Don't hug him. Put your arms around him like this. Lock him up. Lock him up. Okay. No, you're hugging him. Oh, I got to come back here and help you. Here. Right here. Squeeze in a little bit. There you go. Now you got him trapped. Oh, I don't want you to hug him. All right. Now, sin has us in our clutches. And Satan has us all wrapped up. There's nothing we can do on our own to get out of that. We are a sinner. We are slave to that sin. But when Jeff hears the gospel, and when he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, that gospel breaks the grip of sin, and he turns around, and instead of looking at his sin, he looks at his Savior. Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. When we get that forgiveness, the forgiveness of God, Bill, stand up for a second and get right in between them. Get right in between them. The forgiveness of God gets between us and our sin, and the forgiveness of God keeps pushing the Christian, pushing forward, Bill. Come on, you can do both hands. Get them going. Pushes us further and further and further away from our sin to the point where the Bible says our sin is separated from us as far as the east is from the west. I mean, you can keep going east all you want. You'll never get to the west. And you can keep going west all you want. You'll never get to the east. The twain shall never meet. And that's what God says. That's why we got a God that gives us everlasting life. There's no way that Jeff can get back to his sins, even if he wanted to. Because between him and his sins stands the forgiveness of God. That's why there's nothing that he can do to lose his salvation. Because in God's sight, it doesn't matter what he does. He is washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that blood doesn't come off. And the Bible says in another part, he's cast our sins into the deepest part of the ocean. I remember before Debbie and I had any kids, we got to go on a dealer trip to Hawaii. And one of the activities they had was you could ride a submarine. And so we got on this submarine, we kept going down and down and down and down. And we got down there, and it just seemed like everything was turned off. Just turned off. And the captain came on, or I think they call them captains, whoever runs the submarine, said, "We're at the deepest part of the ocean in this part of the world." And he turned on a spotlight, and there was a mountain underneath the ocean. And I elbowed Debbie and I said, "This reminds me of that Bible verse where he says, he cast our sins into the deepest part of the ocean. I see yours over there." She didn't like that too much. She said, "No, I think that's yours. See that little rock over there? That's probably mine." I said, "Oh, okay, we'll argue about it later." He put it into the deepest part of the ocean. He separated it from us as far as the east is from the west. That means we can't get back to it. I don't care what you do. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, "Oh, there you go again. You Baptists are alike." You say, "You get saved, you can do anything you want." No. You missed the point. When you get saved, you want to please your Father. You want to do right to please him. It's not doing right to keep saved. And a true Christian doesn't take the forgiveness that we have from God as a license or a liberty to sin. He lives, or she lives, their life in such a way pleasing to God. What I'm trying to get you to realize this morning, that the forgiveness of God makes it so that you can never, ever get back to your sin. You're saved forever. You're saved eternally. You have everlasting life, not because of anything that you do, but because what God did for us on Calvary. Amen. It's everlasting. Thank you, men. You can sit down. And then point number 7. The forgiveness of God causes God to forget that we ever sinned. You go and you read about David's sin in the book of Samuel. You read about how he tried to cover it up. You read about his prayer for forgiveness in Psalm 51. You read where God forgave him. And then you turn over to the New Testament, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and here's what God calls David. He said, David, a man after my own heart. A murderer? An adulterer? No, you see, when God was calling David a man after his own heart, he'd already forgotten the murder and the adultery. I mean, when he looked on David's record, he saw the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Noah, he got drunk. He lay naked in a tent. His son came and saw him. And yet when God talks about Noah in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Because God forgot Noah's sin. You say, how can God forget? He's God. That's why he can forget. He's God. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight, God forgets, we remember. I mean, we talk about David. Yeah, we remember fighting Goliath, as Angie sang about a moment ago. And we remember a great king, but we also remember Bathsheba and Uriah. We remember Noah. We remember the ark and how he saved the world. But we also remember that day that he got drunk and lay naked in a tent. Not God. Not God. He forgets. Moses committed a sin so big that God wouldn't even let him lead his people into the promised land. But after Noah died, after he'd asked forgiveness for that sin, God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Because God had already forgotten Moses' sin. Because that's what God's forgiveness does. Sometimes when we talk about the things of God, we only scrape off the surface. And the things of God, to really understand and to realize what God has done for us, we need to dig deep. And we need to think. His forgiveness takes care of our eternal punishment. But it also takes every one of my sins off his record in heaven. He can't write another one there. In fact, when he looks at my record, just like when he looks at Jeff, he doesn't see the sins that we've committed. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Boy, I don't know about you. I just want to take my shoes off and jump around a little while. He doesn't see my sins. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ when he looks on my record in heaven. I not only have a blank page, but I don't have a blank page. I mean, it would be good if I only had a blank page. But I mean, what makes it so much better is I don't have a blank page. I have all the goodness that Jesus Christ did. And when God looks at my record, that's what he sees. And he forgets that I was ever a sinner. Now, how can you not love a God like that? As a Christian, how can you not try to live your life as best you know how to please him? And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, how can you walk out those doors and pass up what God offers to you in Jesus Christ? I just don't understand how you can do it. I don't understand how God could love you so much that he would send his son Jesus to die in your place and his forgiveness do all these things. And then you say, it's not for me. It's not for me. You are on your way to hell. You are on your way to an eternal punishment from God. And why would you go and suffer hell when you can get everything that we've talked about this morning simply by saying yes to Jesus Christ? So if you're here this morning, I pray you won't do that. I beg you not to do that. This morning, I beg you to consider the claims that Jesus Christ has for you. Consider the promises that he makes to you. Consider what his blood, his love, and his forgiveness did for you on Calvary. And come and take it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that many, many people in this room know exactly what I'm talking about because they've experienced it for themselves. They have that forgiveness. They have what it does for them. I pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that don't have it. It doesn't matter what's kept them away from Jesus up to this point. It doesn't matter. What matters is what they do in the next few moments. What matters is what they do with Christ in the next minute. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would tender their heart. You would help them to see there's no other way to get right with their God. There's no other way to get that thing that's missing in their life or relationship with their Creator. There's no other way to get that but that by coming through Jesus Christ. And if they simply come this morning and admit their sin and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment of God, but I believe when Jesus died on Calvary, he died for me. And this morning, I accept what he did for me. I want it for myself. If they'd simply come and do that, then Jesus would save them. He'd take away all their sin, wash it in the blood, his own blood. God would put on their record the righteousness of Christ. They'd stand before him justified, just as if they'd never sinned. And I pray, Father, if there's one, or if there's two, if there's three, however many there are here this morning that's never received Jesus, today would be the day that they do it. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit.